Bug Jumps podcast. This intro will be very quick, and it's just from Ruby this week, as Kat is still in Australia having a wonderful time. So I'm going to keep it brief and get straight into this episode, because we have the amazing Olga Koch on this episode. Not only is she incredibly funny and incredibly lovely, but also has loads of brilliant answers to our questions. So you're going to thoroughly enjoy the next hour of podcast, I think. Look, it's brilliant and you're going to have a fab time. But right at the top, I just thought I'd let you know, if you enjoy Olga, which you will, Olga has a Soho Theatre run coming up. So you get to see her live. So go down to Soho Theatre between the 23rd of February and the 7th of March and you'll get to see Olga Koch's new show. It's called Fat Tom Cruise, and it's going to be brilliant and you're going to really love it. So you're going to love that. You're going to love the podcast. And if you really like me and Kat in this podcast, then we're both at the Leicester Comedy Festival in February. I can't remember Kat's date. Sorry, but you will be able to Google for it. My debut is the 21st of February. I do feel very naughty only promoting mine because I cannot remember Kat's dates. I will quickly find it. One sec. And Kat Higgins' show is on the 12th of February. Ha ha! So that's the admin out of the way. So enjoy the episode.
Kat, we were just talking about your interest in smut. So
yes,
are
I've
got
we smut this year?
We're reading. We're not
the
listening.
Books that TikTok. The girls on TikTok are recommending.
Wait, are you doing the one with the snake people where they all 69 each other in a human centipede?
See, I feel like I've become aware of the levels. So like on TikTok, they'll often put a chili pepper when they're recommending books.
Yeah. So you're doing deep kissing books.
I feel like, where's the skimming boss? Have you read this snake book?
No, but I'm obsessed with women telling me about the book. Because imagine, essentially, there's some sort of, like, they're like snake people. I don't know the lore, and I'm so sorry if I'm offending any fantasy fans here.
Snake people.
But they're like snake people.
I don't know, but snake
And so they, I guess, have, like, rituals around this big fire pit. And imagine a human centipede, but instead of, like, eating each other's asses, it's just, like, 69ing. So it's like your genitals are in someone's face. But then your face is on someone else's genitals. So it's a human train in a circle. Apparently it's a game of elimination. So like the faster you come, then you're out. And so like the last one stands. So it's fascinating. I'm fascinated.
I don't think reading that would turn me on. I think I would just be so like...
The physics and the mechanics of it.
It would take me out of it. Do you know what I mean? I'm too busy thinking about, are you hot? Are you cold? Are you outside? Is that thing getting like shit on your knees? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm too... That's now I'm in that. Because I'm trying to pop myself... in these scenarios. So instead I'm just with some cowboys somewhere out west.
Cowboys.
Like, we've had to get married for some utterly in name.
Right.
I'm being very rom-commy smutty.
Emily Henry, you're doing Emily Henry.
Emily Henry.
Love a little bit of Emily
but
Henry.
But I would say she's light on the smut.
She's like, very light. Very it'll be like one or two scenes max.
100%.
Emily Henry I listened to, that's my guilty
Emily
pleasure.
Emily Henry was my like gateway drug. Yeah. And then I was like, this is the type of book, like nice, but very easy reading. Nothing is being asked of me as a human being. This year has been tough enough. I need to escape into some romance or whatever else. And then the romance has sort of veered more towards smut.
Yeah.
So now I'm being told I need to read the one that everyone was reading. So I was taking like a... You know,
is it Quarter of the Stars?
Yeah. When it's just everywhere and you're like, I'm just not doing this main... you know, when you're just like...
You're different.
I'm also...
Where's the indie smut at?
My indie, we mean Indiana Jones. I think you also notice there's like, I've never had any interest before in ice hockey. But there's a whole
that one's a big one, isn't it?
Smuttiness. Yeah.
I think there's a gay one that Amazon has now made into a TV show.
Yes,
right?
I've seen this recently on TikTok,
I'm excited.
And I'm like,
I'm ready.
Honestly, gay smuts. I read that the one that's also made a film, The Red, White, and Blue.
Oh my god, I saw the movie. The movie's amazing.
Yeah,
the movie's incredible. It's so good.
The book was really good as well,
okay.
And I was like, okay, gay. Like, oh, I think I just am like, yeah, let's just. I also have like it says a lot about where I'm at, like, but I'm just like. Yes, smutty romance in life. I don't need to actually have any of this in real life. We can just...
You enjoy other people having a good time. What I'm hearing is you're an empath.
I am. Thank you.
Smut for empaths. Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
just
yeah.
so delighted for Prince of England. Also my harmonicist. Delighted. 100%.
Where you where you are on smut?
I don't read full spot.
Okay. Really dyslexic.
What about audio?
Very insensitive.
You know there's a whole app for... There's two different apps. Quinn and Dipsy that you could do audio porn in. Okay. Audio erotica,
no, I've heard it because isn't one of them Andrew Garfield or someone read for it? There was some like
Chris Briney from The Summer I Turned Pretty did one. Also, yeah. I think what's her name? Veronica Pedretti or some Vanessa? She's the one in the girl season two of You. She did one. So they have like legit actors do it, and it makes you kick up your feet a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so have you done Quinn?
Oh, I don't do any of it. I just watch regular porn. But I'm happy for you gals.
I don't know. Welcome to our talk.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
it. It's delightful to have you here, honestly. And we've started off really hot. I would say. But this podcast is the podcast where we ask people who have very cool jobs, which you do. You're a very cool, accomplished, successful person. But about all the jobs they had to do to get them there. All the odd jobs that they did along the way, right? And I will say, Olga, you're an interesting... before this, I was like, I don't actually know anything about Olga's back. Well, I feel like I do know the back...
You have some suspicions, I think.
I feel like I know the backstory that's out there. You're a hot Russian computer scientist, but I don't know any of the details. Intrigued.
So where do we begin? How do we start?
Let the listeners know about how accomplished and successful you are.
Oh my God. Olga, you are nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award Best Newcomer, your Best Show at the Leicester Comedy Fringe, and Most Outstanding Nominee at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
As a comedian, as a writer, you've been winner of the Writers Guild Award for Best Radio Comedy. And you've also been seen on Mock the Week, QI, Loud of the Apollo, Frankie Goes New World Order, Late Matt, Nine Mash, and Richard Osman's House of Games.
How did you do on House of Games?
Yeah, I won.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the comedians always do.
Well, I have the suitcase. I have the whiskey thing. I have the trophy. I have something else.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's incredible.
I think it's the comedians win most weeks.
Yeah.
I guess so. So
good. Smile at me, look, fuckers.
But I also am the type of person who's like, I'm not going to go for the funny. Do you know what I mean? It's I'm here to win. Yeah, I'm not going to do like a silly, goofy one. Not now.
Yeah, we're incredibly competitive as people.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're not going to ask you actually about your successful day on House of Games or week, on House of Games. We're here to ask you about all the odd jobs that you've done along the way to get you here.
Thank you.
So, Olga, first question. What was the first ever way you made money?
That's an excellent question.
This is now Thank money you. In your pocket.
That's an absolute excellent question.
It doesn't have to be an official job.
I understand. I could have predicted, I could have predicted this question. And I'm probably going to say something that many people have said, but I'm going to say Tooth Fairy.
No one's ever said
Tooth Fairy.
That's such a good.
Yeah.
You were I've been iron nice shit.
Selling my body since day one.
I've been a whore since my gang. Selling myself to fairies. Why you're still doing it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever considered, because I didn't pick that out because I was like, I just too fairy felt like part of it. But you're like, no, that's a transaction.
That's a transaction. But a hustler, rise and grind, babe. The teeth.
How much did you get?
Because
everyone gets variants.
Everyone have very different tooth fairies in different economic, what do you call it?
Brackets?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would have assumed it would be somewhere between 50 and 100 rubles.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
Which, please, so this is I am from Russia. I was born and raised in Russia. Yeah. I don't even think we had a tooth fairy in Russia. I maybe saw it in like a film.
Yes.
And I was like, let's do this. And my mom's like, what is this?
Sounds like the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my parents had no fucking idea what it was. And so I think like my mom had to like watch the movie maybe and be like, I guess this is the concept. And 50 to 100 rubles, the ruble fluctuates. And the thing is, your listeners will know this. I'm
a lot of bander to you. Currencies. It's very much our demo.
So at the time, I want to say 30 rubles was maybe a dollar.
Okay.
And it fluctuated up to, I want to say peak 50 rubles were maybe a dollar. Now it's way up. But it's at its most expensive. No. At its most successful, I guess the ruble was 30 to 1.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying you were getting about £3.
Yeah.
For a tooth.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. What were you doing for the Tooth Fairy?
Most of the time it was 50p. Yeah. I remember there being a very traumatic tooth being pulled at the dentist and it was a fiver.
Oh, okay. And the thing is, then you turn on the waterworks.
Yeah.
You make it look more painful than it is.
Did anyone here do the string around the tooth, slam it in the door situ?
Again, I've seen it in cartoons. I don't think I ever had
to
do that.
You guys had a brothers who wanted to.
What? Wait, did you do that?
I
Oh my god.
My brothers were like, no, we'll yank it out. Yeah.
Was it loose enough to do that?
Vaguely. Vaguely. It was that thing of like, I then learned to not mention.
Of course.
For fear of vulture is coming in. We definitely did a race car one. I think my brothers did that though. We tied it up and then it went down the garden.
Too very fucking serious.
Not me. That was my brothers.
I was like,
I'm really nervous. She was protected. I'm little child, so I was abused.
Oh my god. Yeah. This is a psychology podcast. Also, okay, question: have you kept any of those?
The money,
the teeth. The money was spent.
I'm assuming my mother put them straight in the bin. I don't know. Or the tooth fairy, I mean.
Isn't there a comedian who collects teeth?
The thing is, imagine if we all thought of a different person.
I think we could, and they would all be your guests. I feel like I have seen this in a show somewhere, but it's not real. I, for some reason, want to say like John Luke Roberts or one of our Oasis done something.
I think it's a lady.
John Luke Roberts is the Tooth Fairy. He does a character in a show.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he has real teeth.
No, it's a lady comedian, and I remember someone telling me that they had their tooth come out. Like, they're like, oh, I had a dentist appointment, and they took a tooth out. And then the comedian that they were on the lineup with was like, can I have it? So I've heard this.
Okay, please write in.
Yeah, let us know. Of all the shit when they get asked backstage in green rooms,
this is so
I
true.
Have your teeth. I think a new one, honestly.
At least it's above the neck.
Let's give a head in a different sense.
Hey, but did you guys do this as kids? I feel like I'm going to say sweeping generalizations, but maybe I'm speaking only for myself. But obviously, everybody was obsessed with the idea of treasure, hiding things, having little nooks. Yes. And I remember I had a nook, like with a little key. I think it was like a drawer in a chest of drawers that was maybe like in a sort of maybe like like a quarter somewhere, or maybe even like my parents were like something no one ever used.
Just for me, I'm in my head thinking that you lived in like some Russian castle somewhere.
Yeah, obviously.
Great.
And then you just open it with your little key, and then you just check on it, and then you close it, and you know it's there.
Yes.
And it would be like things that you for some reason decided were valuable, like a shell that you found on a beach that was perfect and like didn't have any cracks or anything. And I remember that I had a box of my teeth in there. Oh, you're really unlocking a memory for me.
To not get to give them to the Tooth Fairy? Were you like hoarding them to then get them?
I don't think the Tooth Fairy took my teeth. I don't think my mom knew the mechanics. I would put a tooth under there and it'd be tooth and money.
God. So you really could have inflated the market there by just like constantly
using the same tooth.
Another one. Just a DJ out of team.
Another one.
Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, first earnings. Okay, so you're marking Tooth Fairy as earnings. I like this like immediate commerce approach to anything to do with.
She's the first girl boss.
Yeah. A woman in business.
Hulk invented feminism. Yeah. Amazing. But then when you were younger, when you were around like Tooth Fairy age, what did you want to be when you grew up? What did you want your job to be? Or like, did you have a concept of that?
What did I want to be? I honestly think this is probably the most boring answer. And I feel like you probably have a similar answer. I watched Legally Blonde. I wanted to be a lawyer.
Yes. You keep being like, this is going to be everyone's answers.
Yeah.
And it's really not.
Is it not? Nobody.
Reese
Witherspoon.
I very much wanted to be a lawyer.
Come on. In her little country little outfits. Yeah. In court. May it please the court.
So I was a very tomboy as it were. Okay. Or just like masculine child. I had three brothers. I was just like, pink.
Right.
Get us away from me. But that like, the thing where she's like, tapping her foot in line or whatever.
Yeah.
I very much identified with.
Yeah.
100%. I also thought that little dogs like that, which I now have loved little dogs, but I used to think little chihuahuas were like little fucking
little rats.
Yeah.
No offense to rats.
No offense.
But yeah, and I think it also tapped into, as a kid, obsessed with mysteries, like any flavor of mystery.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes, Nancy Drew, Scooby-Doo, didn't matter. And so it felt like a way to do mystery, but also in a sort of like more corporate setting, I guess. Because I was all about the corporate setting.
You wanted a pencil skirt while you're solving mysteries.
Oh,
exactly. Like, I'm not I'm not a private detective in a car with a long lens. I need to be by a water cooler.
I need espresso blotting.
Yeah.
No, I would. I definitely went through a lawyer phase.
Did you try and solve any mysteries growing up?
Okay, this is really unlocking some memories for me. I think my mom also loved mysteries.
She's provide emotional support. Just say go.
Off to care.
Yeah.
There was definitely, my mom was a huge, huge detective fan, so she would read Agatha Christie's, then she would hand them to me, then we would discuss them. Like, that was our little, like, club. And so I think...
What age are you doing Agatha Christie's?
Like 11,
okay,
maybe?
Fair. Yeah.
I think it's like, it's really, really funny when you look back at it, how okay your parents are with violence, but not okay with sex. Where they're like, well, watch this action film where, like, there's blood and guts everywhere, but God forbid you see a tit.
100%. 100%.
I think I watched Blade at 6.
I can't remember what the film is, but there was one that was, again, this, like, violent cars film that my brothers were obsessed with. And my parents, we were, like, sitting watching it. And again, it's like, people drive by shooting. Like, I can't remember all there was. And I remember there's one scene, though, where a guy's, like, in the back room of the strip club. And they barge in to, like, I think try kill the guy.
Yeah.
But when they barge in, he's getting a lap dance. And my mom was like, no, try and pass off. And we just skip the bit with the woman in her underwear to when he gets his head bumped. I remember my bus and Michael was there, so like I distinctly remember that. So 100%. Violence, fine.
Weird.
Any level of
it. I guess Looney Tunes quite violent as well.
Yeah.
They're constantly falling and getting stuff.
But there's also sexy characters on that as well, isn't that Looney
That's
Tunes?
True. This is true.
The
Looney Tunes.
Girl, Bugs Bunny. And then when they lift the curtain and it's sexy legs and you're like a wah wah wee wah, and it's actually I think still Bugs Bunny somehow.
Wallow. Yeah, and the fucking Jessica Rabbit.
Oh my!
Tell me now, she wasn't.
Okay, must say, rabbit by marriage, obviously, a human woman married to a rabbit. That's why she's called that. Sorry, because people, it annoys me when people think she's a rabbit. She's not.
No, she's not.
She's a human woman.
Yeah.
She looks like you.
But a rabbit pulled her. That was amazing. Yeah. Rabbit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting when a rabbit pulls you out of a hat. Yeah. Rare.
Mathis. Okay, so what was then your first ever job? Like official way at learning.
My official first ever job. Okay, to clarify, I think if you look at my Wikipedia page or go on my Instagram page, I do come from privilege. I have a show called Obika Comes From Money. So I feel like I sort of skipped the teen job.
Well, you were in boarding school.
I was also in boarding school. I don't think it would have been possible for me to work. And I had no more teeth to sell. So I started working first year of uni. I worked as a office assistant and the information technology services of my university. It was like very boring and very office.
You went to university in America.
Yes. So even then, because I was on a student visa, I had like limitations on the jobs that I could do.
Yes.
And so I could only work at the university. So I worked in the IT department. And I remember it was like, in retrospect, quite a boring job. But I remember I obviously put it on such a pedestal, also peak a US office. So I was like, I have a cubicle. This is fucking sick. I'm going to print out things and glue on it. Like
you were living your blah, blah.
Yeah. I was jazzed about having like my own special email for it. Like, and you know, oh my God, the supply closet. Every gel pen.
Oh my god.
Color coding things.
They don't have colleges have so much fucking money as well.
Yeah.
And especially cupboards aren't what they used to be. Like I've looked at many a sifting cupboard recently, barely any pants.
They used to have a room for it. Yeah. A fucking closet. It was crazy. And then you collect everything and you're just like, I might need a whole bunch of nose. I'll take two staplers. Who? I need a backup stapler. Oh god, it was so good.
So you were into theft then in your Which ain't no JDT, I get it.
And it was the first job I ever got made redundant from as well. So
you got made redundant?
Yeah.
How do they make a student redundant?
I think what happened is I like took the most amount of shifts at the beginning and then I think it wasn't as exciting anymore. So I took fewer and fewer shifts over time and they were like, why is she even here?
Yeah. We're just it was valid. Cold punch.
Exactly. I was there to sort of clean up on stationary and peace out. Yeah.
Oh my God, great. And wait, office assistant. So were you like, I don't know, like just the receptionist? Were you answering phones? Was it like scheduling stuff or whatever else?
It was that. And it was also, now in retrospect, like office really used to have like more stuff. I guess they still do.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much stationary, but there was a lot of like coffee getting delivered, milk getting delivered, making sure that the milk was new and that like cleaning out the fridge, like all this stuff, like very admin-y sort of, I guess, office manager job.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Was it other students working in the office?
Yeah, so there was like five of us girls on rotation and we were called the ITS girls.
ITS girls.
And I remember printing out like all the characters characters from Powerpuff Girls and like naming, but I, obviously there's more than five is more than three. Yes. So the other two girls had to be like the evil monkey.
and
the country devil. No, I'm Bubbles.
Yeah, but,
grow up. So it's like, yay, we're all friends. But it's like, why is one of them
They're
a monkey?
They're like, Bulga hates us.
Was there any office gossip while you were there?
At the time, honestly, I can't really think of much. This was a while back.
Yeah.
And I think there was like a lot of excitement. What am I thinking? Not really. I remember just like some of the girls being much older, and I thought they were so, so, so mature. But obviously, we're all freaking children.
Yeah. Year.
I'm 17, 18. Yeah. I'm 18, yeah, probably. Yeah. And they're maybe 20. And I'm like, oh my God. Some of them are 21. They can go to bars. Are you kidding? I was like, yeah, these are adults.
Yeah. You were American College. So I went to American College for a year.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing, like a student job or whatever. And it's like a thing that everyone has, like an on campus job or whatever. Yeah. But in your college, was it like a frat? Did you have Greek life? Did you go to bars? Like, what was the social side of that college?
It was in New York City, so it's in the city. Oh. So, like, when I went to the office, it felt very much like I'm a big girl in a big city.
Yeah.
Kentucky,
so we had very different experiences.
And then, like, the rest of the people who worked at that office, for them, it was just like an office job. Yeah, I don't think they even like clocked that it was part of a university. And I mean, it was, but it wasn't like in the lifestyle. They didn't come to campus. It was like in a random building. It wasn't even like part of any of the buildings that like the head class is in. So it did really feel like having an office job.
Oh yeah.
And as an 18-year-old, very cool.
That is very fucking cool.
Packing your own lunch. Label your lunch. If you don't label your lunch, it's going to get thrown away.
Oh, she'll take it along with all bunches.
But also, did you manage to make your lunch and eat it? Because I find most of the time I make a lunch and then I'll just go out and buy something anyway.
I'll eat the lunch and I'll buy something.
Yeah.
Because, baby, I'm making money.
Get that whole bunch money.
I'm selling hole punches on the DL.
You know those people on the streets in New York who were like selling shit and just on blankets.
Yeah.
Oh, because just like, I've got whole bunches. Yeah. Who needs them? So how long were you doing that then for?
I think I did it maybe for a year. And then starting with my second year of uni, I started doing internships instead.
Okay, yeah.
Because that was in that like weird gray area where at the time, I think like last summer of my university career, there was that like uproar that interns aren't being paid. Why aren't you paying interns?
Yeah.
But I think if I were to get paid, that would be like visa-wise more complicated. So I did all of them for free for credit. So they would be like registered as classes, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And where of the internships, you were doing computer science.
Yes, I was doing computer science at university.
She's hot and smart, guys. Stop. And also she can convert Russian rubles into...
I mean...
The 90s conversion.
Yeah, I would say the 98 conversion, right? That's my most current conversion. So I did a bunch of internships, which I don't know if fall under odd jobs. But
100% injured.
But they are still on my CV, which is so embarrassing. I'm 33. And every now and then...
So that's the thing that should pull off your CV.
I will apply to like 40 jobs just for fun. And and I look at my CV and I'm like, oh my God, there's so many internships on this thing. This is so humiliating.
No, I feel like people, especially like, who were you doing? Were you doing internships for like, I don't know, big tech?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did intern for cool companies. I worked for Warner Music. I worked for YouTube. Then I worked for Beggars, which is a music label.
That is Beggars Group. Poorly named.
It is what it is.
Poorly named.
But then on like Rough Trade and 4AD and stuff. And then I also worked for MoMA, which is the Museum of Modern Art. So they were cool.
Yeah, don't take those off your CV. They're amazing.
But also,
you should put them under comments.
But also, if you look at the responsibilities, they'd be like, I remember for MoMA, my entire job, shout out to MoMA, was checking the Facebook DMs. And there are some crazy people on the Facebook DMs. For some reason, they were like obsessed with keeping the inbox clean for Facebook DMs. And it was all literally like random dudes taking screenshots of their art or like photos of their art on the phone being like, do you want this? And I had like a stalk response and like, this is what we say. And then that like, this is what we say if they follow up. It's like a whole thing.
Was there any that caught your eye?
I have discovered a lot of artists.
Yeah.
I told them all that, yeah, sure. They just need to send it in. Can you imagine?
Yeah, great.
The host one day is just like full of fucking tubes, and they're like, "What the fuck is this?" Olga said we could send it. That's so cool, though. And what was the, like, the most random? Because internships, I feel like it is. You're like, you're a dog's body, right?
Yeah, you're just doing
fucking Facebook weird DMs shit, and shit. What was, like, the most dog's body, like, weirdest shit you had to do?
Dog's body.
Yeah.
Tell me about dog's body. To be fair,
is that
Irish?
I haven't heard of dog's body. Is it Irish? Pretending that I knew.
I think it might be.
Is it Irish? Let's look at that up. A dog's body is like you're just a dog's, like a, you're like a lackey, like a lackey, like a, you're just
so
a runner,
am I
like
a dog?
Sort of, yeah.
But are you a dog without legs? Because you're just saying dog's body. Like, why not? You're just a dog.
Our legs
dog's body synonym.
Why do you have to specify the body?
A laborer, a worker, a slave. Yeah, yeah. It's like you're just like.
Okay.
A person who does menial work, a servant. Yeah, you're basically a servant. You're
a
just
dog's
like
body.
I don't. Yeah, it's coming up in English. It says English. A drudge, a slave, menial work, a skivvy.
We get it. Okay.
were a skivvy. it's one of those that now that you say it, it's the weirdest etymology. I don't know why it's
a
called
dog's body. Where was a dog's body?
But
let me.
A lackey. Like, were you like? I don't know, made, I'm trying to think, like, I remember in one of my jobs, I was working for, it was an internship I did in America.
Yeah.
And I worked at a theater, and we had Scotty McCreery, winner of American Idol, country singer extraordinaire, coming one day, right? Maybe he didn't win America. He was on American
That's
Idol.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And this is back in the day. And so Scotty McCreery was coming, and I got sent, he like apparently liked some, I can't even remember what the fuck it was, some type of like cracker or some, anyways, it's something that they wanted for the green room. Uh-huh. And we lived in the, like, the college was in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, Kentucky. And so I had no car or whatever else, but they were like, we need you to go and like get his like rider or whatever else, or his gift or whatever else. So I had to like get a friend, and we had to go to the mall and like scour the mall trying to find these, like,
shop
for American Idol nominee Scotty McCreery or whatever else. And then I remember being so like, oh, I made all the effort for this thing, like, it's going to be such a big thing or whatever else. And then he came, and then literally it was like in a hamper, and the hamper was like never touched.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was so ridiculous.
If you were to have a rider, what would you put on your rider?
I mean, you've probably had a rider. I feel like all this TV.
I don't know if I do, but I mean, again, assume that you guys know this, but I feel the need to share this fact every single time, because I used to think that the blue M&Ms thing was a diva thing, but it's really a way to check if they are reading the rider.
But I think that's bullshit. Because this was, wasn't it like one of the bands, like Rolling Stones or someone back in the day?
Which I bullshit.
I agree with that. Like, back in the day, I think there was no health and safety around like building stages, because it wasn't it, because some stage
collapsed.
Because they
had like a tech spec that was really specific, and they wanted to make sure that the venue was reading the tech spec.
Yes.
And that's why they put like a little sort of Easter egg inside of it to make sure.
I feel like nowadays there's enough insurance, there's enough like, I believe it back in the day when like no one was paying attention to like health and safety and shit. But now if someone was like, I want only blue M&Ms, I'd be like, you're just being a little prick. Like, no one's, there's so much like health and safety and regulations and insurance policies, and like, I having worked in music production and stuff, there's like a 17 million risk assessment forms that everybody involved has to fill out and stuff like this, that I'm like, no. Also, the person who sorts what goes in your green room and who sorts the like lighting rig, entirely two different people. Attention to detail, like, no. So I believe it back in the day, but now if someone was like, now, like, well, I asked for all this stuff. Another one I know of is Dave Chappelle.
What's on his?
He, I think, was it 6 rotisserie chickens?
Yeah,
iconic.
I've heard that one. Yeah.
Love that. The
Wiggles,
4 bottles of Ciroc. I have this confirmed. I have this confirmed, shall we?
Anyways, so internship dog's body. Anything coming to mind?
Yes. I think there was a lot. God, so much of.
I just feel like New York
work.
City.
Yeah. It's cleanup. It's cleanup in terms of, and I think this is something that like applies to our houses as well, our inboxes as well. I'd say that there would be like, I remember at Warner Music, I think there was just like old merch for, obviously, like, it'll be like, I'm going to make this up on the spot, but it will be something of like Wiz Khalifa 2009 New Year glasses. And you're like, okay, well, they obviously ordered too many.
Yeah.
They haven't thrown them out, but no one's ever going to buy this.
Yeah.
Because it's 2012.
Yeah.
And so it was just like always stuff like that. And you would have to sort of find ways to dispose of it, recycle it, repurpose
it. I'm stopping that shit on vintage. Are you serious?
Maybe now.
My friend used to work for the merch makers of Mercedes, like the F1 team.
Yeah.
That shit goes for so much money on F1. She would get it all for free. Or at Vinted, because people are really into like F1 merch and shit.
Apologies to Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be stuff like that. Because the amount of like limited edition merch. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or like over-ordered Jingle Ball merch.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
You are finding treasures.
Always finding treasures. That's me, baby.
Treasure seeking.
I realize now, you saying about this, this isn't so much Legally Blonde. It feels, was there any sort of chance that you were Devil Wears Prada'd?
Ooh. Well, it wasn't in fashion at all. Did you have to get a vibe similar?
Yeah, any of the vibes were like dealing with people or running after.
That being said, I don't think I ever had any diva bosses. Everyone really? Was really, really nice. Everyone was really. They either were
in the American music industry. That just doesn't sit
weirdly
with
the
image.
I think they were either nice or they just like didn't know you were there.
Or didn't care.
Because like you couldn't actually do anything useful for them for legal reasons and for reasons of the fact that you were an actual child with no qualifications. So a lot of the time I think the most annoyed they would get is if they like couldn't come up with a task for you.
Oh yeah.
They'd be like, well, I guess organize a spreadsheet. I don't know. Leave me alone.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. They were just like, oh, I don't want to babysit.
Yeah. And a lot of, because it's America, a lot of like doing the internship is like being in the internship ecosystem. So they'd be like, we need a name for our internship intern graduating class and we need a logo. And now we're like having a social just for the interns. And here's a person who started as an intern and works here now. And they're going to do a little keynote for all the interns. And you're like, well, 4 hours of my day are actually not interning, but talking about the fact that
Oh my God.
And I worked at YouTube the summer the internship came out, and obviously YouTube is part of Google, so it was like we were like constantly rolled out onto like free screenings. Do you remember? Because it was the internship, it was about Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson having internships at Google.
When you were like, the internship came out, I was like, I didn't know, it was a big thing. The film.
Yeah. Oh, and it was about them having internships at Google. And
the
I was
spinny hats.
Yes. And I was an intern at Google that summer.
No way.
Yeah.
You were basically a celeb.
I guess so.
You were calling.
I'm used to the spotlight. Yeah. And so they would have like free screenings and wheel us out in our little hats being like, they're the actual intern. It's like when you know when they do a biopic and they will like roll out the celeb like that's actual Johnny Cash.
Yeah. And you're like, that was not a true to form then casting, was it really?
I look nothing like Vince Vaughn.
I think you could do. I think you could go.
Oh wow.
What era of YouTube was it that you were there at YouTube?
I started 2012, I want to say. No, maybe 2013, summer 2013.
Was that like the YouTuber era? Was that like when...
Very beginning, like Grace Helbig reigned supreme. Yeah. Like the Holy Trinity.
Shout out Grace, love Grace.
Tyler Oakley.
Miranda Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Vlog Brothers was a bit before then?
I think a little bit before.
Yeah. I don't know.
But like John Green, all that. Yeah, that was the...
Yeah,
the
I only vaguely... I sort of missed... but we didn't have Wi-Fi in my house, to be honest. Not to stereotype Ireland, but we hand to God didn't. And so like a lot of that stuff. And when I went to university in Ireland still in my first year halls, it was I had to have a cable to have the internet. Like that was it. There was no Wi-Fi.
How old are you?
I'm 72.
And you look amazing.
Thanks. I was actually the first woman to go to university. No, I went to university in 2011. 2010, 2011?
Yeah, we went to the university at the same exact
time. Yeah, we're the same age. Yeah. It was just Ireland. I don't know, like, shout out UJ.
You know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It was
you
just,
lived.
Honestly, the amount I drank in that first year. And also, we played, so I think back in it now, and I'm like, it was kind of like weirdly wholesome, whereby we played so many games, because you couldn't, like, none of us had a TV, because we were all just like students and shit, and we were in halls, so there was like whatever else. And so we just like played all the time. One of the guys that I lived with was in a wheelchair. We were in like the wheelchair block. Like the downstairs flat was like a wheelchair accessible one. And he had a spare wheelchair. And we used to play a game. And it was like we used to drag race and his, like race each other. So like we'd get Will out of his wheelchair. And then we'd drag race up and down the road to see like who was faster at wheeling. And then we also used to do a thing where we'd like a phone, like an intercom. And we'd pull the phone cord across the hall and do like a limbo under it. On the wheelchair though, and see how like much you could angle yourself back without tipping over.
That sounds incredible.
It was so much fun.
Not a cell phone in sight.
See, kids, before the internet, we just made fun of wheelchairs.
Yeah, you did start off ableist. That story by being like, back in my day, we didn't have streaming. We wouldn't be on our computers.
But I didn't know who all the YouTubers were because, like, I genuinely, like, it all missed over my head. Yeah.
But also, even when we were at uni, I feel like when they were becoming big, the people who they were becoming big with were like 13, 14.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you're a 20-year-old, you're like, I don't want to watch stuff that a 13-year-old is watching.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay, so internships all throughout college.
Yes.
So then what was your first sort of big girl job, full-time
job?
My first big girl job.
There was a babysitting stint in New York City on the Upper East Side, which was very gossip.
Oh my God. Yeah, tell us about that.
That was fun. They were like, they lived in like a two-story apartment. It was very like sus where the money was from. Love. I remember, I think I found them on Craigslist. Either Craigslist or like the sort of the my university like message board.
Yeah.
And I was like so into the idea of like Uptown Girls. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I wanted to be Brittany Murphy. And so I remember showing up and I was meant to tutor her, the little girl.
How
and,
old was she?
I'm gonna say she was maybe 10.
Okay.
Maybe
like okay.
That. And so I was like, oh my God, she's gonna be my mini million. Great. And she was like so fashionable, so sassy, so mean. She had absolutely no time for me.
Oh my God, like a young Blair Waldorf.
Yeah. Okay. So I was like, oh, we're not gonna get along because I can't control you in any way. And it was one of those things where the mom would be like, I can't either. That's why I hired you.
You're both just looking at each other.
Yeah. But they did have incredible snacks. And I remember, I was like, they would be like, help yourself to anything. And then they did regret saying.
Yeah.
Because I was helping myself.
And how long were you doing that for?
I want to say like a summer. I think it was like the summer after uni I did that. Just to, but I had to tutor her in American history, and I knew jack shit about American history. And I was like, why am I doing this? And then I do distinctly remember that we were going through the American presidents, and she was like, she said Michael Jackson was one of them. and I was like, yeah, sure.
You're like, fuck it, why not? I'm here for a good time, not for a long time. By all means, kid, write it down.
Keep the hummus coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And so after that, and then I moved to the UK here and I got my first proper job.
Yes. Mm. And what was that? What was your first?
Which is I started working at YouTube after the internship.
Oh,
wow.
And
I worked there for 6 years.
Oh my
gosh. So I did my first two shows, my stand-up shows. I did Live at the Apollo when I was working at YouTube. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I did not. This is what I mean. I feel like I did not know this lore. Also,
sorry,
I'm
not
like.
Live at the Apollo, Mock the Week. I did Mock the Week. Live at the Apollo, I did.
You had it in your notice for.
As a full-time comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, okay, now I think I've got this handle.
Yeah. I feel like these are almost like not even our job. Like that's such a solid job to have while like getting started in comedy.
Yeah. I mean, and they were like, it was very chill. It was one of those things where the whole department was recent grads and we were all representing different countries because we were doing like support from different countries. So I was doing Russian speaking markets and they'd be like Italian speaking markets. So it was kind of
like
sexy Model United Nations.
Yeah, we like, I was just going to say.
All recent grads.
The UN.
Yeah. All from all over the world. And it was just like, it was fun. It was really, really, really fun.
That sounds so fun.
It was
really there any
fun.
Like, I just feel like with Model UN or like UN shit. Like, are you guys like enacting like actual geopolitical beef like it within the company?
Touch.
Like, are you and America pretty cold with each other? Like, what's going on?
It would be like we would have to comply to local laws. So, like, for example, some videos are banned in some markets, but not others.
Oh,
so there
yeah.
was a lot of that stuff where it's like, or for example, this is back in the day, so obviously now something like this would not happen. But like, for example, if I am coming and doing an event in Ukraine, and so we need to like consciously make sure that like we're booking Ukrainian speakers so that like the event is mostly done in Ukrainian because it would just be fundamentally culturally insensitive for me to come out and start speaking Russian. And even if they do understand me, that's still not like cool.
It's not legit. Yeah.
Exactly. And so there's like, there was all this type of stuff, but it was all done by like 22-year-olds. So we had no fucking idea what we were doing.
That's so gas.
But yeah, it was like, it was like Model United Nations.
And was it one of these where like, were you like, oh, that's Sarah. Oh, Sarah, she's Italy. Like,
yeah,
were
yeah,
you
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's so fun.
I was like, I think France and England are hooking up.
Was there any like,
who
was sleeping
absolutely.
With who?
Germany were fucking each other. I think they have children
that's
now.
That's classic Germany. Let's be honest. They do love to fuck themselves. Was France sleeping around? Like, come on. Was it following sort of cultural stereotypes?
No comment.
Okay, as the hot Russian girls.
By that I mean absolutely. So yeah, that was really fun. What was I going to say? Sorry. blanking.
You're okay.
We were just asking about the, yeah, whether people follow cultural stereotypes. Like, was the Italian, like, on customer support, like, talking with their hands?
I do think one of the things, and this is something that I've, like, subsequently used in job interviews.
Oh, yeah.
I think what eventually got me my next job in tech, but it's like you understand that even if the job is exactly the same, the way it's done in different cultures is completely different.
Yeah.
So even though like my sort of KPIs were the same as Italy, France, or Germany or whatever,
yeah,
the way that they would be executed are just like completely different just for cultural reasons. Like to the point where even like when are people available for calls?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do people show up on time? And what is, like, how long do you wait on a call? Like, what is socially
acceptable? What is actually the Russian sort of attitude to timekeeping?
The Russian attitude, I think you're largely on time. That being said, it feels like there's no start or end.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, like, you can have a 9 p.m. call.
Okay, so no respect of, like...
If anything, later better. Like, if anything, like, after maybe 1 p.m., it's all to play for, but before 1 p.m., maybe don't schedule a call.
Is that because everyone's hungover because they're drinking vodka? I don't
know. Yes, like... also traffic is a huge issue, so it's like, it's going to take you 1 or 2 hours to drive to your house.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
And, like, in the winter, that means you need to, like, defrost your car, so you're probably, like, pouring boiling water on your car just to start it. So, like,
yeah.
It's a whole thing. So it's like, you can't expect anyone to be anywhere in the morning.
This is such good cultural insight. Because I used to, when I lived in America, I had to explain to the Americans that culturally in Ireland, we just have a very different attitude to time than they do. Like, yeah. I would arrive for a 9 a.m. lecture at like 9:01. And they'd already be sat down. So the lecturer is speaking. They're all writing down. And they'd be like, you're late. And I'd be like, bitch, 60 seconds. But they are like... very like 5 minutes early, and I genuinely do. It's a long story, but I did Chinese while I was in Kentucky. I had to do a language. All the classes were booked up by the time I registered. So, so anyways.
Okay, John Cena.
I still got a little bit in me, right?
I want that club.
Also, John Cena. I like that. That's where you go.
He speaks Chinese.
Does he?
Yeah.
I always think of Bishop, the Irish comic. He's like fluent in.
Amazing. John Cena learned Mandarin to sort of get a WWE bigger in China.
I was going to say, to like grow, like, Jesus, that man is a hustler.
Yeah, you know, we think of a Chinese speaker, John Cena, obviously.
Or an Irish girl in the midst of Kentucky just having to fulfill requirements. So I was failing Chinese, as you can imagine. And basically the guy was like, oh, you're good to have in the class though, because I'm trying to explain to these like Kentucky fucking and Ohio and like whatever else, Iowa kids who've never left America, like how culturally different, like they think American culture is like homogenous with the world.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm really trying to explain, there's no point in them learning the language unless we like learn how the culture changes and is different and stuff. But they then were like, it was almost too far removed. So he was like, you speak, he was this really great professor who I fancied so much. And he spoke like fluent Italian and like fluent Chinese and fluent like whatever else. He was like, you speak some Irish, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, why don't we get you to do, he was like, on Fridays, he was like, you get 15 minutes, you teach like an Irish saying or phrase in Irish and explain like how that relates to your community and culture. Because I think they're all white Americans, so they'll identify with the, like,
and Americans famously obsessed with America.
Yeah. This is it. He was like, they'll identify with that. And then he was like, I can then always draw a correlation to China to try and help them like just basically broaden their minds.
So
I would like get up and be like, in Ireland, we have a very different approach to time. And like mean it. And then I was like, when I'm late, it's not me being insulting. It's just, you know, the vibe.
It's actually disrespectful to my culture for you to critique.
I was like, honestly, I linked it to colonialism and imperialism.
Yes!
I basically blamed the English. And I was like, it's actually very, very English of you to be doing that. And that's very anti-us.
What phrases did you teach?
Yeah, well, Shanukles.
Like all sorts.
Because you've taught me phrases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you taught me a phrase to say to Dennis and Roger.
Yeah. Roger O'Sullivan and Dennis Land, two Irish comedians.
What is it?
Well, Catherine told me, she was like, oh, we're going to meet. So I hadn't met Dennis and Roger yet. And so she's like, oh, we're going to meet these Irish friends. They're from Cork. And there's a nickname that we call people from Cork. It's a very like kind, friendly nickname, but we refer to them as langers. Right, and so when you see them, go up and say hello and call them langers.
Is it
and
an insult? Like, cool. It's an insult.
And it's an insult. It's an insult. And I didn't know this. I went up and
Ruby's so gullible.
I went up and I was like, oh, hello, langers. And they're both like,
what? Like, what does that mean?
It was also because the way you said it, like maybe like a langer, like I don't know. A langer is just a fucking aegis, like you fucking langer, like whatever else. And
do you even have to be from Cork?
No. It's just kind of from Munster, like the province, that general. Okay. A langer is like Cork, Kerry, Limerick, maybe whatever else. And I just don't like people from Cork because they think they're the best. And they do. Roy Keane is from Cork and he's friendly. By the way of Cork people. So me and Cork have this ongoing beef.
Is Neil
is from Cork. And you see immediately I said
I like
they're
Neil.
Up themselves. Yeah, but
no.
Yeah.
No, that's not why I brought up Neil.
She thought of you immediately, Neil. I saw Neil 2 days ago. Yeah, Neil knows about my beef with Cork. It's 100%
I brought up Neil because I remember in his material he refers to Cork.
Cork. Yeah, because they love it. They're obsessed with Cork. This is the butter museum. They're upset. People from Cork are obsessed with Cork and they think it's the greatest place on the planet Earth. I have a joke where I'm like, Cork is in the south of Ireland, and I was like, which is weird, it's southernmost part of Ireland because people from Cork think it's the center of the fucking universe.
Oh, that's good. That's really, really good. Does that true. Absolutely kill it in Ireland?
Oh, smashes. But anyways, yeah, an Irish phrase. So we've these thing called shanachals, which just translates to like an old phrase, but like whatever else. So things like Níl aon tintéin maidir tintéin féin, which means like there's no fireplace like your own fireplace.
Aww.
There's no place like home.
Yeah.
Then there's like Níl nearca curla céile, which is like there's strength in togetherness, kind of like we're stronger together. So it's like a community. So I would like be like, oh, Ireland's very based on community and looking after one another and whatever else. And then we've got some like fucking weird ones like Tomajer Munnamica, which literally means we're on the pig's back. But it generally, I think, and again, I made this all up. Like, there's no, I made this all up. People in Kentucky are like literally saying this like it's Bible. I would say like, oh, we're sucking diesel. Like, you know, you heard that Irish phrase? Like, we're sucking diesel now. Like, geez, we're sucking diesel. It's when you're trying to siphon diesel out of an engine. So you put a pipe in it, like a hose in it, and you suck it. And then once there's actual diesel, oh, we're flowing now or whatever else.
Oh, now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now we're cooking with gas. Now we're sucking diesel. Okay. Tomajer Munnamica is kind of like the pig's back, I think, is the thing of like that pig's back is like bacon or whatever else. So like we're on the pig's back, like we're on the best bit now, whatever else. So yeah, all these but I stood up and like linked it to like culture and like colonialism, basically everything was like, and that's the fucking English's fault. So yeah,
and
that was
like
what
that.
I did in Kentucky.
I like that a lot.
But I love that you did like an actual UN in work.
I don't know how, like, this is not odd jobs because this is very into comedy, but at the moment it's like loads of comedians are trying to like breach into comedy, into YouTube, because it's like got the best paying a platform, and it's for long form and it's doing really well. Has any of that job helped you out with comedy?
Absolutely
stuff?
No. Nothing at all.
You've got no.
I retained no information. I retained no information. If anything, I'm actively worse at it because I have this a delusion that I know the platform better than everybody else.
Yes, even though it's entirely reinvented itself probably a million times.
I mean, the algorithm would change daily. So any of my knowledge is like 10 years old and completely useless.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, have you tried doing the ice bucket challenge? To boost views?
I've heard putting tits in the thumbnail really helps.
Yeah. 100%. Thumbnails. Oh my God, yeah. What a vibe. And so then you went from the, like tech into comedy.
So I was doing comedy, I want to say, maybe like right away. So like I started doing comedy as soon as I got this job, because it was a way to meet people in London as well, because I was brand new.
I was going to say,
London.
Is that what got you into, you were just like, I'm going to try.
I was doing sketch at uni. Then I came here, didn't know anyone, thought I'd do some stand-up, meet some people, start a sketch team, and we'll be back at it. But then I as many stand-ups, tried to be on stage alone, was like, oh, I'm never sharing the stage again.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just for me now. So then I met all my friends, like, I mean, I always tell this, but it's like I did the Soho Theatre Young Company course, and then on the first day I met Chloe, Huge, and Sam Lake,
yeah.
And I was like, and we've been the best friends ever since. So it was like,
I feel like your friendship is like this like iconic thing in comedy where we're like, they all met right out the gate and then all became so good and successful.
I mean, it's self-mythologizing for most of them. And every time I forget, we'll post a picture of the four of them.
And every now and again I'm like, there they are.
And they were like kind of also some of my first friends in London.
Yeah.
And so it all went hand in hand. Like, I started this new job, was getting some friends there, but also I wanted to do stuff outside, started doing comedy, and I've been doing comedy since I moved here, essentially after uni.
Amazing.
Thank you.
That's so great.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And one last question. What do you think is the oddest comedy job you've done? Like, because I feel like, I do like asking about the jobs beforehand, but comedy will send you to some weird fucking places doing some weird fucking shit.
Oh, boy. Well, I did my fair share of corporates. I'd say some of the scariest corporates, the scariest corporate I ever did was a COVID corporate where they had me perform comedy in a completely empty conference room to a camera where everybody else was muted, but like I was performing it on Zoom. So it was just like, imagine if I was here, but there was like a long table and no one.
Oh my God.
And I had no feedback at all whatsoever.
They didn't have their like mics on. Oh my God. So you're also like, they could just have this muted and not even be listening.
100%.
Jesus Christ.
No understanding.
Comedy to a vacuum.
Yeah.
In a corporate set. At least if you were on stage with a mic in your hand, it might feel a little bit like, I'm rehearsing.
Yeah.
But you were just sat. You sat down?
No. I was standing. It was like I was giving a keynote or a presentation.
Oh, okay.
To ghosts. To a ghost conference. It was like if you looked through the obviously glass walls, you would think, oh, that woman is talking to herself. That woman has gone mad.
I will say one person who's going to listen to this podcast will be my dad. And my dad also, I remember he hired you for a...
I had a nervous breakdown on that one. Full nervous breakdown on that one.
That wasn't what I was going to... I was trying to say to him, that wasn't your gig that you booked Olga for during COVID.
Oh, no, God, no. Not that one. That was that one I failed because of me. Yeah. And I would like to be very clear about that.
I like that.
Because I tried to reason with 17-year-olds and never do that.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, no. I mean, but then also, like, yeah, that's setting you up for failure. So is it your fault, really?
My dad, I love your dad.
He loved it.
He's the loveliest man in the world.
He's the only man that matters.
Yeah, 100%.
Apologies to my fiance.
Okay, and last question of the pod. Ruby, take it away.
Oh, yeah. So in hindsight, what is the job you learned most from or has been the most useful to you?
And this can be like a life lesson, or it can be like, I learned how to make a really good coffee at that internship, or I learned the best hummus that New York City has to offer.
Or the Wiz Khalifa mug actually went for loads of money on vintage.
This is the most valuable lesson I ever learned.
Oh, wow.
At any job.
Okay.
And I remember because we were working at YouTube, which meant that we were public facing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, right? So when you talk to creators, quote unquote, let's say you're talking to Grace Helbig, that is like not an internal conversation.
Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. And we had a PR team come in every year and do a PR training. And obviously so many trainings didn't work. But I remember the one thing the PR training taught us, they were like, it's something called the front page of the New York Times test. And that means that every email that you send has to pass the front page of the New York Times test. Which is to say, if anything that you ever do at your job from a corporate device.
Yeah.
Get screenshotted, put on the front page of the New York Times. Can this get the company in trouble? And again, fuck capitalism, fuck companies. Fuck themselves. That being said, I have really taken that out when it comes to texting, when it comes to asking for a spot, asking for jobs, writing any professional email, because you need to constantly be thinking about that. Again, panopticon and very, very depressing. But it's very, very helpful in dating, because a lot of the time when you're like in a situationship dating somebody, you're like, do I sound crazy? And all you have to do is write out the message you want to send, screenshot it in your head, and then think, if he, she, they send it to their WhatsApp group with their friends and say, isn't this bitch crazy? Will the friends back them up?
That is a really, really, really good takeaway.
And the
only thing is that I'm like, and we all know this with screen grabs or whatever else, I'm like, if it depends whether they leave in their part of the conversation or not.
Fair. But yeah, I think about it all the time. So whenever, and then if I'm like, okay, well, I sound crazy, then it's a phone call.
Yes, don't put it in writing.
No paper trial.
Then it's a phone call.
Everyone's like, I dated Olga. She only ever calls you on the phone.
Front page of the New York Times.
That's such a good takeaway.
I do when I talk about this in my new show now. But when I have intrusive thoughts, I imagine them as a BBC news report to be like, woman dies because she didn't wash her hands before putting in her Invisalign. No, that doesn't sound right.
Okay. And then I know I like fine, that. I like
but
that
like
a lot.
Imagining the email on the front page being like, no, actually, that's fine. It's okay.
This is so
interesting to me. Is the kind of person who was literally never had a filter in my life. Like,
and I hope you never do. I hope you never do.
And so I'm like, oh my God, you think about things before you send them.
Like, imagine if whatever you said on this podcast was on the cover of the Cork Daily News.
I would gladly continue as I have and even get worse. Olga Cox, thank you so much for coming on the Odd Jobs podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure to have you.
It's been such fun.
Thanks.
Bye. Sorry.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I know I did while I was editing. I think it's fantastic. Just as a reminder, you can go see Olga at Soho Theatre at the end of February to the beginning of March. And you can see me and Kat at the Leicester Festival if you're nearby. The 12th of February for Kat and the 21st of February for Ruby. Okay, we'll see you next week. We love you. Bye.